Hi everyone, this is Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Stephen Knight, who wrote Pawn Sacrifice, the story of Bobby Fischer and his climb to fame as a grandmaster chess champion. Well, thanks so much for talking today. I was excited. I love the movie. It's so tense. You just roll out the information just piece by piece. It's like a chess game. How did you do that? Where you got, like, do you overwrite a scene and then pull back?
Yeah, I think
it's so tough to
do. I mean,
do.
The good thing about this particular project was it's got an ending that is just perfect, because the truth is perfect, is what I mean. It's that you have an underdog who you think is going to screw it up, who nearly screws it up, and then wins. It's what could be better, with the whole world watching. So then I think what you have to do is take that and say, okay, that's where I'm heading, and I'm going to start. Let's find a place to start. He's 6 years old. How am I going to get there and find the stepping stones? But it is always a selection process of finding things that you're going to leave out, because there's so many great things that happen that you can't put in because there's no time.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine. I felt like I wanted to look on my phone and see if he had one, because I didn't know. I wasn't sure. So that's how you know you got me. I was like, I want to know the end, and that's an end you can look up.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't. I just waited tensely.
But it's great because, you know, it's a story that obeys all the rules of drama.
Yeah.
But it's real.
Did you outline, or how do you just walk me through your process? How do you get started?
I should do stuff. I don't. I just start usually and just know that it's going to be start with the kid and try and establish, again, certain things within the true story are so good because his mother's a communist. He's under surveillance, so you get paranoia to begin with, but it's real.
Yeah.
You get the split with his mother, so, and she's a communist, so the Soviet Union begins to represent his mother. So you got all of these things that are just all working in one's favour. But no, I tend to just start writing a scene, see what happens.
Amazing.
I've always done that, but it's not. I wouldn't recommend it because it just means you spend quite a lot of time.
How much time does it take to do the whole thing?
It depends. I mean, if it's something that I always think, if it's working, it's quick. If it's slow, there's a reason. Something's not right. So it might be worth looking again. But with this, I mean, there were lots of different drafts, and it took a long time. But each draft, when it's pleasurable, when you're into it. You're really in it. It just goes.
So how do you get to that, over that hump? When you are blocked, do you talk to someone? Do you?
No, I don't. I don't. I mean, touch wood. My method is to tell myself I'm not really doing it today. I'm not writing this today. I'm doing anything, and just start writing anything. Something ridiculous.
Like reverse psychology.
I mean, I always remember. I saw Edward de Bono, he was a philosopher, speaking. He was talking about creativity, and he said, if you start from somewhere you know and you go to somewhere you don't know, it gets increasingly difficult. If you go from somewhere you don't know to somewhere you know, it gets easier. So the thing to do, if you're creating something about, let's say, chess, start with something nothing to do with chess. Start with a bird, a stork, I don't know, flamingo, anything.
What a good idea.
And then think, okay, it's a flamingo. Why am I looking at a flamingo when it's about chess? Well, it's because, obviously, it's that, and he's feeding the duck. And then suddenly you've got a scene that you wouldn't normally have done. So
I love that. I'm going to use that.
Well, it's just not putting any pressure on yourself. You're just saying, well, today I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to sit here and mess about. And then some, not always, but sometimes you get something in the middle of it that's sort of, you think, oh, that's good.
Wow, that's great, because writing is so hard, and it's so hard to get to the next draft, and sometimes you think, this is terrible, how can I make it better?
I think that if you depend, again, it's not the best way in terms of, you know, using your time, but I think... If you allow your rational mind to be in charge, it will look very dull. You know, it will look very expected.
Right.
Because you can't help it, because your rational mind will go, she thinks that, he thinks that, so therefore they're going to do that, they're going to have an argument, then they're... And it's all expected, whereas if you try and do something that isn't rational, just...
So when you... Since you're working from a real-life story and you have all these details, how do you...
because there's so much, you can only put in like 2 hours of material. How do you know when, what to cut and what to keep?
I mean, I work on the grounds of, if you're reading about an incident that happened in his life, you write it anyway. And subsequently, when you've got a sort of 180-page script in front of you, you then have to start doing the horrible business of getting rid of the ones that don't move the story along, that don't edge you towards the destination. Because some of them just sit there and just great and just interesting. You know, some of the things he did are really funny and stuff. So I can choose the best moments when something odd happened, something that wasn't expected happened, and then from them choose the ones that move you along.
Do you have to, when you're doing that, I'm guessing you have to make things up sometimes, or do like use poetic license? What, how do you, are you saying to yourself, I'll just connect the story here whenever I need to, or are you really trying to stay as true as you can until the end when you realize you have to put together?
I mean, with this particular one, there are events, the Santa Monica chess tournament, all of those, the actual events are historical facts, so you've got them now nice and solid, which is great. You can step from one to the other. You know I've got to go from that to that, because this is fairly chronological, which again...
Did he really meet the prostitute?
Well, this is that was exactly the example I was going to give of true and not true, which is that he actually... it was in South America, I think. He decided to lose his virginity one day.
And he did.
And then afterwards he said publicly, it was fine, but not as good as chess.
So you got to put that in.
But so I thought, well, I'm not going to go all the way to South America to do that line.
That's great.
So in Santa Monica, why not? You know?
That's so funny. Oh, there's so many light moments too, even though it is very tense.
Mm.
How do you balance the comedy with the
I think
the
comedy,
plot?
Comedy is so important. If you're trying to make a character who could possibly be unsympathetic, sympathetic, if you can make them funny, God, it's like cheating. You know, it's like the audience forgive loads of stuff if he's funny. And
that's true, because Hollywood always wants likable characters.
Yeah.
That's a note that I hear a lot of writers tell me. That is so hard to deal with. So comedy is maybe the answer.
Well, sometimes, I mean, especially if they're funny without realising it, because that can be very endearing. If somebody's brilliant at something, can't open the door, you know what I mean? There's something great endearing about that, and I think that if you can do those little moments, then people will forgive other things.
I noticed that he basically says whatever's on his mind. And I read a lot about him after seeing the movie, because I was just fascinated. You want more. I'm guessing that's what you want the audience to want, is want more information about him. But in the film, he kind of goes crazy. How did you figure out how to do that, or do you think he was just born, I don't want to say crazy, but has a mental disability?
I think if he had been born now as a kid, he would have been picked up and he would have been given medication. And you know, is that good or bad? That's one of the questions the film asks. Should we medicate him and destroy this beauty of the but I think he was born with problems. He then was born into an environment that was very dislocated, and because his mother was a communist, he was ostracised. So the more ostracised he is, the more he retreats into chess. That makes him even harder. The more he's going to be excluded, more chess, and it's just a vicious circle. However, it creates Game 6 in Requiem, you know, something that will never be forgotten. So, but I think that he was deteriorating rapidly. And I think somebody could have put a stop to it.
Well, I like how you set up very early on that he's nervous and a little bit paranoid and scared, like a regular child would be of noises, and he uses chess to calm himself down.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But then, later in the movie, chess is also freaking him out.
Well, I think that's exactly what happened. I think that his refuge became a nightmare. You know, the place that he used to hide in wasn't hiding him anymore, it was exposing him. You know, the better he got, the more people wanted to take pictures of him and look at him. And he hated being looked at and photographed. And so the very thing that he thought was his answer was the thing that was going to destroy him.
Just so tragic, but what a great story. And I hadn't Did you tell me a little bit about your research? Did you read everything on him, or did you pick?
I read a film of him. Yeah, I read a couple of stories of his life and watched a lot of footage of him mm-hmm. being interviewed, which I think is always the best way mm-hmm. of getting into a character because of the way he looked, the way he looks around, and you could see that he's not a normal person. And the Dick Cavett show is word for word.
Oh, I felt like it had to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah. That was absolutely what
so
he said.
So awkward.
And, you know, everybody's sort of laughing nervously after a while because he's, like, saying these things. And Dick Cavett's like, and he's, you know, what do you like about winning? He said, I want to crush the opponent's ego, you know, like a beetle or something. And you just think, oh, my God. But at the same time, he could be so sort of... I saw an interview where he said... interviewer said, so do you think women can play chess? And no.
I wondered, there's no women. Were women not allowed to
play?
I
think women have more sense than to devote their lives to chess. I really do. No, I mean that. I'm not being trying to be clever. I think that they have better things to do than sit. Or, you know, when men get into comics and they get into stuff like that, you know, and they get obsessed with things. I think it's possibly that. I don't know. But
what do you think it is about the male psyche that does that? Do you think that's really hiding from responsibility in some way? Because
I think that
not to get too headspace.
No.
Men have a lot of responsibility to provide,
yeah.
especially at that time period, create a life and get a wife and
yeah,
do everything.
Yeah. I think he didn't really. I don't think he associated himself with the normal world
mm-hmm.
at all. I don't think he understood it. I don't think he understood why people did the stuff that they did.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that mattered to him was chess,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything else. And there's something about chess that is very pure. You know, it's
yeah.
all in your mind. I mean, he didn't even need a board or pieces to play chess. He would play it in his head.
It's amazing. Do you play chess?
I do, but I'm not good. I'm okay.
Did you have to learn a lot about the game, too?
Some bits and pieces about the move. But the thing that I like about chess is mm-hmm. just playing it. And the idea of studying books to make yourself better, for me...
Yeah.
defeats the object, but it's like too much like hard work to do that. And I think it's more fun to lose but do what you want. But in the end, that's what he did. He stopped, you know, in Reykjavik, he stopped doing any moves that people recognised.
Right,
nobody
right.
could believe it. He just started doing stuff that had never been done before.
It's so cool, especially the way it's written, to see him go, he's never been done before.
Yeah.
And the priest character and the lawyer
mm.
are in another room playing, and
mm.
I thought that was such great writing
mm.
that they're playing so that we can hear common
commentating
or we can
mm.
get dialogue on what he's doing
yeah.
and it can be explained
mm.
to us. And I thought that made it so tense. Was
yeah.
that, how did you come up with that concept to do it like that?
It's a difficult thing because what you want to do is let the audience know that this is something completely different. He's doing
mm.
something insane, but
yeah.
it looks to us, it looks like he's just moving
it's
the chest. So the idea of two people discussing it helps, but also it helps that's really what happened because people would shadow the real moves and talk about it.
I thought that was great.
And that's what they do. You know, they'd look at it and they'd say, oh, normally you say, oh, that's the Indian defence or that's the so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, they were going, what's he doing? You know, where
is
this
heading? I went and read about it. I was like, oh, you're not supposed to make that move. And
yeah.
And
he would throw his queen away, you know, the most powerful piece on the board. He'd lose his queen. And that's it, he's lost. And then they do another movie, you'd be like, oh, he's won.
It's very creative.
Mm.
Like, it's really this artistic side of your brain that, like you
yeah.
said, is
yeah.
different than the rational side. And I thought that I really liked how those two
mm.
ideas were in there.
But it's also, I think, a brain that can think ahead.
Mm-hmm.
10 moves ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the random variation within that is in the billions.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, it's got to be, because any one move, there's loads of different moves anybody
yeah.
could make. And it's just incredible.
So do you think he was using some psychology to predict how his player would do it? Or because he was always reading,
mm.
you know, the past games.
Yeah, it's great. There's a quote, I think it's in the film, I can't remember. It was in the script, I think, where someone said, do you use psychology against your opponent? He said, I don't believe in psychology, I believe in good moves.
Of course he would say that. It's like, of course.
But I think... there was something about him that his opponents got very scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the Russians said, it was like having a brick wall fall on me.
That was so funny.
I mean, that's a quote. That's real. That's what he said. I guess he said that he just sits there and he's like, whoa.
think I'm almost out of time, but I want to know, how did you break into screenwriting? How did you get this awesome job, which is so fun?
I know, it is fun. It really is, actually. I wanted to be a writer from about when I was about 11.
Mm-hmm.
And studied English and started off writing radio, which is, I would recommend to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
To start, because it's just the word,
mm-hmm.
which is mm-hmm. great. And doing advertising, then television, then novels, and then one of the novels, instead of finishing it as a novel, I wrote it as a screenplay.
Oh, great.
And it was Dirty Pretty Things, and then from then, that's what I've done.
How is, just looking back on from Dirty Pretty Things to now, how are you changed writer, or are you still...
You get to learn some tricks, you know, mm-hmm. And you get to predict, be able to... You have to divide yourself up. There's the studio commissions, you know, where somebody says, this is a big budget, do this. You just go to work, that's fine. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I'll go to work on this. I know what the deal is, I know what the expectation is. I mm-hmm. know things are going to be shifted around and moved. Don't go in there like a prima donna, just get on with it. And then things that you're doing for yourself,
mm-hmm.
make sure you've got absolute control of.
Oh, wow, good way to separate it.
Yeah, it's either one or the other. Don't try and pretend mm-hmm. that you're going into the studio one with absolute control, because you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But with the keep the budget low and do it yourself is great.
So how do you take notes then? If you're on the studio job,
you listen to the notes, you agree or disagree, you know that you're there to do a job, so mm-hmm. unless it's really ludicrous, you go on.
You do it?
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
That's good for young writers to know, I think, because they get so offended and
so you can get offended, but do it anyway. You know, I mean, seriously, I get offended by any change of any
word.
I'm
very offended by that. No.
Yeah, even a word change for me is horrific. You know, just somebody changing a word in a line, because you think, no, that's not the right word. But then you have to get on with it.
Yeah. So what is, do you have any advice to like a young writer out there?
Finish what you're doing, first of all.
Okay.
Always finish it. I would say concentrate on, I think the mistake a lot of people make is I want to write something that's like a film.
Mm.
You know, because obviously you've never done one before.
Mm-hmm.
First task you think is to make it like a proper film. You know, right. This is a bit like that. So mm-hmm. therefore it's a problem. I think people get noticed when they write something that isn't like other films.
Right.
And if people who read, you can imagine the job of reading loads of scripts. And you're seeing the same thing over and over again. Then suddenly you see something, even if it's not that good, it's just like, it's weirdly different.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not do that script,
mm-hmm.
but they will probably call that writer and say, who are you? You know, what are you trying to do? You know, it really is, I think, because then they'll say, what's he trying to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
Just
trying to do something different.
Yeah.
It's just like Game 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
doing, tear
do something
up your
different.
Book, yeah.
So cool. Well, thank you
so
much. That was awesome. I appreciate
Great.
It.